Hi, this is Day for Night with Karidatsvich, a series that looks at the intersection between theater and poetry in the Edgelands, in the wilderness. In today's episode, I'm going to read actually an excerpt from a piece by the poet and playwright Mack Wellman. It was published in this section that I'm going to read was published in 2002 in a journal called Theater Forum, which is an international theater journal that was published by University of California at San Diego's theater department. And it was founded by Ted Shank and Adeline Shank. The journal is no longer, sadly. So now all that exists are the back issues in the archives. And I had come across, I had not read this issue, so I've been looking at the back issues, and I came across this this piece from 2002. It's a piece on playwriting, and I've been finding it quite inspiring. So I'm going to just read it. It's called On Negligible Perfection by Mack Wellman. One, plays exist in time. Two, accordingly, the center of a play is the moment the present and the play touch. As the moment moves through the text in whatever sense, as it is enacted. Accordingly, the form of a play and its way and shape change markedly and momentously at each moment. Plays behave like living organisms, and therefore are only knowable, as it were, moment to moment. This is the condition of things that exist in time. Three, the structure of a play ought not to be viewed as a fixed thing, but as a mutable, processual being. If this metaphor feels tinged with the stink of romanticism, I propose another idea. The structure of a play conceived of as a moving point passing over or through time from its start to finish, so that what it is, the relation of the present moment to all others on the continuum, changes continually and continuously. Time is merely the medium in which we enact whatever it is we do. Time is motionless soulfulness. Our best work is accomplished in full mindfulness of our condition in this regard. So, Aristotle is wrong. Plays do not have a beginning, middle, and an end. A play starts, goes on for a time, then stops. There is no play that could not go on a good deal longer than we would like it. All people know this, are aware of the truth of what I'm articulating, but few dare speak their minds, so great is the dead weight of received thought. One must act against the habit of antiquity. That which is lovely in itself is lovely when it appears, Miller. This I call apparence. We think we know more than we know. We know very little, and have no great regard for this fact, and for what little we do know as well. The habit of knowingness is the principal cause of our misery and wretchedness. Pascal, it was observed, all humankind's trouble derived from an inability to sit quietly in one's room. The room of the soul, I take him to mean, that is, the place where practice and method are one, wherein the closer the consent between objects willed and the willing subject, the more excellence appears. Quote, the more the consent, the more extensive, the greater the excellency. Miller. The habit of knowingness and the attending scourge of the already known, Lear, are so difficult to get at, to identify, because as a people, our traditional nemesis has not been knowledge, but ignorance. And it would be silly, if not insane, to advance the notion that there is anything wrong with knowledge per se. The question of the uses to which knowledge may be put is, however, an entirely different matter. Shattuck. The matter of knowingness, considered as a collapsing of the inner life, an actual abbreviation of human faculties in the interest of a general and total summarization of the human, is simply a fact of life. Whatever one goes, wherever one goes, in the postmodern world, the world, sphere of information, postmodern, tendentious facticity, a spherical assemblage of supposition and assumption, whose surface is both everywhere and nowhere, whose center is likewise both nowhere and everywhere. This is the world we inhabit, the world we think we know. This is the world that far more cunningly knows us. What is at stake is the very knowledge that knowing has traditionally taken to be most crucial, most precious, most difficult to pin down and anatomize, that of the mind and soul, conscience, introspective analysis of the rational and irrational, the mystery of the will, curiosity about ourselves and our responsibility to each other. What Warburg, in many ways the originator of the postmodern panopticon, once referred to as the torturing questions on the whys and wherefores of things. A world without inwardness is a world of the perfectly knowable. A summation in progress, the type of which may be the Human Genome Project, which proposes a more or less complete decoding of the biological facts of humanness. Tendentious facticity. A world in which all the items of the knowable may be arranged systematically or rearranged according to the expository needs of the moment. A world that comes to consist entirely of explanations of the world. A world consisting of the pronouncements and summarization and cataloging by pundits of all kinds, gatekeepers, and the better class of expert and journalist. A world in which reflection, inwardness, reflexivity itself are all redundant. A cultural superfluity and even an impediment to problem solving. A world that is perfect in the sense that it is complete and finished. A thing that is equivalent to its explanations, a world totally mediated, so that for all questions there are clear and unequivocal answers, factual answers, whether intellectual, economic, or pharmacological, a world completely and wholly mediated by what cannot be called anything but a journalism of the soul. This is the bored and irritated world of the already known, Lear. This is the world most of us live in. Because we diligently read the newspapers, watch TV, listen to the radio, converse with those who are better informed than we are, and are inclined to toe the line because we have learned well the lesson that if we do not toe the line, we will be informed by our social betters that whatever our deviance, it was tried before and failed, or been better expressed by someone else, or that it has been tried before and succeeded in antiquity. But we've had enough of that. And why don't you people just get over it? Inwardness is out. Boring, boring, boring. One big yawn. We don't need irony anymore. That kind of work used to be called experimental, and the experimental is boring too. What is interesting is science, the study of generic permutations of the already known, and pharmacology, and screenwriting, computer graphics, the web. For knowingness, the only interesting problems are those which may be framed in terms of already known. Solutions that are appropriate in a world in which irony is suspect, doubleness of meaning, a dangerous illusion, psychology, a machine, or a predictable and recognizable kind, ethics, a species of more or less sophisticated barter, art, whether poetry, theater, or what have you, an elucidation of the not-so-obvious already known by that which has already been already known, confirmed as decisive, and a model of clarity, and complexity itself a sham, a bugbear, a taunt. This is why, in our age, theater is so important. to sit for a time in the little room of the human soul, to sit in the presence of the strange, the uncanny, and frequently in the presence of the undecidable. Indeed, to sit within the precinct of one's soul and to enact a narrative fixed upon the radiance of spiders, to sit in the presence of the unnecessary. So perfection is a double thin or double faced as ancient Janus. The world, as we know, it must be created anew every day, and so is the world not the same as it was the day before, Ovid. This annihilation we are only obscurely aware of, but the consequences of the process impinges upon us and upon all our little imperfections. And this is called On Negligible Perfection by Mack Wellman, published in Theater Forum, 2002. The quotes, there's some names that I read, they're sort of quotes. One of them is the source is Jonathan Lear, a book called Open Minded, published by Harvard University Press, 1998. The other is Perry Miller, a book about Jonathan Edwards, published by Harvard University Press, 1951. Roger Shattuck, a book called Forbidden Knowledge, just as here in New York, 1997. And then a lecture on the serpent ritual, written by A.B. Warburg in the Journal of the Warburg Institute, 1938. So a couple of sources there for some of the thinking that's in this meditation essay. Listed here as a work in progress, I wonder if Mack ever finished it. Knowing how much he's written, I can only hazard to guess that he might have. That's today's episode, a little bit of Mack Wellman. I've been going on a tear through Wellman's work, kind of rediscovering it, as it were. Something about these times, these strange times that we're in. Is making me turn back to Mack's work in its familiar strangeness, especially some of his, what I would call his mid-career work, play like Sincerity Forever, which is has been referred to as a nasty little parable revealing the ignorance and bigotry in an American town beset by demonic furballs. This is a quote by the dramaturg Amy Wegner. There's a very specific period in Mack Wellman's writing, Sincerity Forever, Wooligig, even A Murder of Crows, which comes from this period, which is just feels right now like it's worth rediscovering and also worth looking at in terms of trying to explain. But maybe just to reflect upon the world that we're in, which is dark and bitter and cold. And Mack's work has a kind of coldness about it, a sort of clarity in its coldness at its best, I think, not all of it, but at its best, especially what I would consider this middle period work, has a sort of ability to, through playfulness and through sometimes nonsense, get at something quite true, especially about the U.S. kind of consciousness, mentality, political panorama, historical panorama. So I've been thinking about Mack. I wanted to read some of Mack's work. I'll probably read more of it in future episodes. As I think about it. But anyway, putting that in the air, as always, this is about you and I in this theater, you there in the dark, and I here, wondering who you are. Thanks for listening today for Night.